السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. It is the program known as Screaming Reels every Saturday morning between 8 and 9 on Radio Islam International. Let us welcome Adil, who is with us on the line this morning. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I suggest you morning to all our wonderful listeners on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning.
Alhamdulillah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the rains that we've been having. Really, we should make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just 2 or 3 months ago, we were sitting in a situation where we literally said that if water doesn't come now, then it's going to be droughts and water shedding will start soon. And now, alhamdulillah, all the dams in and around the areas are full. We really, really thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Adil, the way you sound this morning seems like you near the water again, Adil.
Alhamdulillah, I'm here at Wolof Express again. We got a camp this morning, or rather this weekend, with Florida Islamic School. Islamic School, yeah. And I'm asking one of the ladies to confirm. And the Mulanas are fast asleep somewhere, I don't know. So I'm here at the river's edge with about 18 kids. And they're just running all over the place. 11, 12, and 13-year-olds.
All right, so I didn't know from the last time you've been, I think it must have been about a month ago when you took some of the kids from more underprivileged areas, I would say, just outside of Zadval. What's different from a camp like this to a camp like this, like the one you've done today? Is most of your stuff different because of the age differences as well?
Yeah, at the moment, you see, the last group that we brought from Zadval was 14 to 17-year-olds.
Okay.
Here we've got a very, very different bunch of highly, highly energetic kids. I don't think any of them slept last night. Yeah, and this Mulana son is shaking his head. He said, no, he didn't sleep. Kujo, Abba is listening. Bye. We're going to check out those guys moving away. All right, but anyway, they are extremely souped up, you know. You can just hear screaming and laughing and giggling, and it's exciting because it's bringing the children out into the bush, you know, something which they really experience coming from the suburbs, you know, the areas at home where everything is built up. I mean, they're not experienced to this kind of bush in the river itself, etc. So it gives them a good opportunity to get back to nature and to, you know, to sort of unwind, if that's the right way of explaining it. Yeah.
Definitely. So like you said, yes, somewhat different from the previous camp. And alhamdulillah, back out at the water again. How's the rivers flowing that area there? Or from the last time you went to today, although from that time, yes, it has come up. But in that month, what sort of difference do you see there?
All right, there's some major, major differences. You know, you've been here before to Willow Express.
Yes, yes.
And there was a time when we were fishing with our kids there in the front of the big house. You know,
yes,
where the swings are, etc.
Where the big lounge and that is.
Yeah, we were sitting on the deck basically, and there was still about maybe eight meters down to get to where the water is.
Yes.
Yeah, at the moment, those swings and the table and the bottom section, everything is all underwater.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So what had happened is, because of the Valdem being so full, alhamdulillah, I think yesterday they were talking about 103%.
104 this morning, yes.
Yeah, so they've opened up nine gates, nine of the sluice gates, which is above Willow Express. You know, we are at the bottom of, in the river section, but at the bottom area of where the dam wall is. So by opening up those gates, what has happened is they've, you know, caused the water level on the river to rise, you know, like crazy.
Sure.
I've never seen the water so full here at Willow Express. In fact, there's so much of places that I normally take the kids to, and, you know, where we do our various survival skills training, which is all under water at the moment. So it's very, very different. It's very awesome to see, because I'm looking at places where I'm normally standing, and it's all underwater. The water level is that high.
Okay, before we actually get back to that aspect, it's amazing the way you say that everything is underwater there. We have Brother Luqman with us on the line. Luqman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, how are you keeping?
Allah shukur. Assalamu alaikum to Adil and all the listeners as well.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
Luqman, alhamdulillah, another week from last week, Saturday, when we spoke and we said that in terms of rain and water levels, we can't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough for the change that we had from it was end of October to now. And I mean, this week again, alhamdulillah, some good rain, of course, in terms of filling the dams. But on the other hand, this week there was some havoc, you would say, or destruction that has caused. I mean, Johannesburg General Hospital, I know the front section, the roof collapsed, and there were a lot of pictures going around of flash floods in Albert and in many other areas as well.
Okay, you know, it's like you said, you know, we can't thank Allah enough for the wonderful rains he's been sending. I mean, I've been checking on the various websites at the current dam levels, and I looked at Northwest. I think there were only two or three dams that hadn't been 100% in our whole Northwest province. So that alone tells you the amount of rains that we have had. And also driving around in the countryside recently, you know, alhamdulillah, you see the crops, you know, the millets are lush and green, the beans, the potatoes, whatever the farmers are planting. And that shows, you know, a year ago, millets was critical. It wasn't that much, but shukar alhamdulillah, this year, and it's huge, huge fields of millets that are so lush and green. Inshallah, Allah protects the crops from any other harm or external elements that it pulls through, and that inshallah the country will have a good maize crop this year.
Inshallah. But it seems like, what that also, we're going to have a bit of a cold winter then, Adil?
Definitely something to consider, because it's quite cold. Even if you're at home, even in Azadwal, and after the rain, you find that, you know, I had to take out jackets and things. Last night here at the river side, it was very, very cold. So I think we can expect, a cold and an early winter. But the whole cycle has changed. I mean, we normally would have expected rain much earlier, and the rains came a bit later. So, like you say, we wait and see exactly what it is that's happening. But I think in terms of fishing, I don't know. With the flooding and that here at the river, and maybe Luqman can help out with this one here. The water is flowing quite fast. You see movement in the water, but they haven't really managed to catch anything, even though we were trying from very, very early this morning. And some of the kids are getting quite disappointed, because some of them came quite well rigged up for fishing, and so far nothing is biting. I'm not sure if it's got to do with the water flow, or if it's... you see, what I was telling Maulana Sajjad earlier on, Luqman, is that the area that we're normally walking around on, you know, that's all underwater. So I'm not sure what the water structure or the structure is, you know, where we normally find water. But is it something to do maybe with the grass or whatever? I don't know if you can just fill us in on that one. Why is it that we're not catching any fish?
Like you said, it's just that water's flowing very fast. What you need to do is go into the shallowest areas, or if there's a little gully or break away from the bank, where water is pushing back into a little bay, a smallish bay type. That's where those fish are going to seek shelter from the fast flowing water. So fish in the shallowest areas, or if there's a bay that has formed, sometimes, you know, when the river is at its normal level, it wouldn't be there, but now that it's full, you may have a bay or another inlet flowing in into the river. So that's where you want to fish the back, what we call the backwaters. And that's where those fish, because the fish don't like the strong, I mean, they just get washed away in that strong water. So they will take shelter in shallow waters or backwaters or eddies, as we call them.
Looking for more sort of calmer water where you don't get
too much you want away from the main water flow or the main water current.
But then, of course, Luqman, with so much of rain, also then you find a lot of feed and oxygen that comes in the water. So that also could perhaps be the reason for them just biting on the normal baits, Luqman.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's rain and water flow, like you said, increases oxygen, and that makes fish more active. But in a river system, it's totally different. You know, okay. if you say nine gates are open, it's a hell of a lot of water coming through. So my gut feeling would be just relax and watch it happen. Yeah.
And going on to your dam, Luqman itself, would you rather the water now settle after your rains come in like this year? I mean, of course, your waters on the top are going to be much more muddy and things like that than it would be once it settles.
It will take time to settle, but in the meantime, in that settling process, you know, fish still feed. So you'd still go out, you'd still want to go out and try. The only place you catch or the only time you can catch is in, the only way you can catch is by trying. So, yeah, don't be despondent. The known thing that you're not going to catch is you may not get the sizes or the numbers, but fish you will still catch because fish are feeding all the time.
I think what you said earlier on is sitting back and watching and relaxing and looking at the, you know, it's really awesome. Going to the dens or the rivers or to your normal fishing spot, getting there and then finding it looking completely different to what you normally used to, you know, that's an amazing sight.
What a lot of the bad fishermen did when the dams were so low is went out with their GPSs and fish finders and actually you know, marked all humps or submerged islands or rock piles.
Mm.
So that the day like now, the time where the dams are full, you don't see those underwater humps or underwater structures. So it's a, you know, when the dam levels are low, it is a good time, very good time to go and take a look, ride around on a boat and just see what's happening, take photos. A lot of the professionals do that. They take photos, GPS coordinates. And so that when the dam fills up, you know exactly where to fish, you know what the bottom looks like, and it makes your chances a lot better to catch much more and bigger fish.
I'm thinking normally if you if an area isn't covered by water, and then suddenly you have the gates opening, etc., and then the water starts to fill up in those areas, you know, how long does it take for the fish to actually move into that area, considering the fact that there might have been, you know, because of movement of people and animals, etc., sometimes even pollution, etc., you know, those things, pollutants and things got to get washed away, or is it something like what you said, the fish just look for shelter, so they, as the water level is rising, they're sort of moving with the water level all the time?
That's it, you know, they can sense. Like I told you, you know, Allah has given them a sense to be able to detect when strong water is flowing. They know when it's going to happen. So the moment that happens, they start moving up. As the water moves up, they move with the water. So, yeah, whatever. You know, a lot of times, you know, in previous years, we've seen some video clips and photos around way after, even if you remember at the time of that tsunami in Japan, you know, after the water receded and went back to its normal flow, in pools that were created and dams that were created or the water that was left behind, people found fish swimming around in there. So the same thing is going to happen with this water flow. The moment that water recedes and you've got natural pools or little dams that form, you will find fish in those places.
It's very, very interesting understanding, obviously, how fish I wouldn't say think, but how they behave. I suppose that always adds to your fishing arsenal. It makes you, you know, more observant. I think even if you do fishing in that sense, where you are observant, you're watching, you're moving, you know, you're studying the water, you're trying to understand where the fish would be, where the, why am I not catching here. It just makes fishing much more interesting.
Yeah, and you must watch, you must look, you know, even now when the water is flowing fast, if you look carefully in those shallows that I've been talking about, you'll see movement, you'll see fins, you'll see tails, you'll see swirls. That's what you need to look at. Just look, take a look around, walk around the edges of the water and notice carefully. Don't just walk fast. Stand at a place, watch, you'll see a ripple, you may see a swirl, you may see a fin of a fish feeding in the grass. And a good indication is when you're feeding or you're fishing close to reeds, you'll actually see the reeds move, especially those thin, longish reeds. Look at them very closely and you'll actually see feeding fish hitting those reeds. That means they're feeding at the bases of those reeds. And look out for things like that. That's a clear indication of where the fish are.
Well, any plans yourself or the guys from the shop for this weekend, the coming weekends?
Not this weekend, inshallah, maybe next weekend, if we haven't decided, but inshallah, I see, you know, some of the guys have said lost cop, they're catching again, you know, it's come up to about 80%, and guys have still caught some decent fish, so the karpa are still biting, you know, even guys went clip for again, or parakalalo as it's commonly known now, and still catching. Arabi was a good karpa venue, that's up to around 50%, so inshallah, you know, the guys can go out and still fish. Fishing will be good.
Inshallah. Uthman, jazakumullah for your time once again. We'll catch up with you next week, Saturday morning, inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Adil, what's the plans next, Adil?
Like I said, my whole normal structure of my program is changing because my whole river camp is underwater, the one that I normally take the kids to do their river camp.
Sure.
The bush camp that I'm going to do on the top section is also quite badly damaged because you see what happens with these farm areas. When the rain falls from the top section, it gets into the sand roads, and then the sand roads sort of become like rivers flowing right down to where the farmhouses and the farm areas are. So there's quite a bit of water that has come through from the top as well as from the bottom here at Wolowa. Everything is very, very good. It's safe. You know, we're in a good area. At the moment, the blue sky, we can see the sun shining through. Alhamdulillah, it's a very lovely day. But we're going to just adapt and continue. And I've got some of these kids here, Malana, and they are like in another world altogether. I'm going to call this Mulana's son, who's the principal of the Florida Islamic School. He's just going to make salam for everybody on the radio. Tell him what's your name. And make salam.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Yusuf Bismillah from Florida Islamic School.
Okay, Yusuf Bismillah. Wa alaikum salam. How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
What are you doing this weekend, Yusuf?
Weekend thing.
Okay, so tell us, from your school, how many children you guys went?
About 18 to 20.
18 to 20, and you guys plan on having a good weekend?
Yes.
Now tell me, did you go camping before, or first time?
No, I've been before.
You've been before?
Yes.
So where have you been before, Yusuf?
Wombats.
To Wombats? Okay, so, but this is now very different compared to Wombats, isn't it?
Yes.
So do you like this one more or do you like it at Wombats more?
I like it here.
You like it there more? And yeah. And you're fishing, are you gonna catch some fish this weekend?
Maybe. I
know. Maybe. You took your bait and your rod and everything with you?
Yes.
You took everything with you?
Yes.
Okay, Yusuf.
Yes,
salam.
Very nervous, Yusuf.
Yeah, he actually sounded initially more excited than he was towards the ending.
No, because he's got his friends sitting here, and they're all trying to catch some fish. And, you know, the concentration level of the guy is very, very low when he's here at the dam and the river and the bush. They only want to enjoy themselves. And I think the whole morning from the After Fajr, I don't think anybody slept, except for the teachers. I don't know where the teachers are. I'm going to look for them. Yeah, so that's the plan. It's the same normal program that we have, but I said we'll just have to adapt it. So the kids will be doing various survival skills. We're going to be learning how to make fire. We're going to be doing shelter building. I was showing them how to make a fish trap earlier on. So far the fish trap hasn't really produced any fish. But like Lukman said, we'll move to an area where it's a little bit more calm, you know, where you can find, there isn't such a strong flow of water, and see inshallah if we get some fish there.
Okay, Adela was going to actually ask you about the place right in the front generally, but yeah. We have Mohammed Patel with us on the line. When we come back, inshallah, we'll continue with our discussion and we'll express itself. Brother Mohammed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, wa kibin Mohammed.
Shukran, alhamdulillah.
It's been a very long time.
Yeah, too long, in fact. Today you caught me off guard. on my way to a client.
I thought you were going to say off guard. You're busy catching some fish, right?
Yeah. It's well, that would have been grand. I'm starting to forget what it actually is. It's been so long. I was thinking last week Sunday, you know what, even in this rain, maybe I should just get out, go and fish from the shore somewhere. I think when I want to use the boat and, you know, fishing from a boat, you're so used to that type of fishing, you know, instead of having to walk around the dam in the bush and, you know, through the bushes. And then, and, you know, you got like four or five rods at your disposal, you know, with different baits and stuff. Makes things so much easier.
Kind of makes you lazy, actually.
Well, lazy, but also, you know, from a bass fisherman's, you know, view, you become much more of a junk fisherman, I would say. You know, you wouldn't stick to one bait and say, okay, let me fish just this fluke for the whole day or whatever. You would, you're basically do a variety of different baits. You can switch between hard baits, soft baits, and, you know, anything that you have on the boat. And, you know, I mean, we really junk fishermen because sometimes we put in, I think, everything and anything into the boat. So sometimes you really get to use what's in the boat, you know, but I always maintain one thing, you know, you want to run short of something that works, you know, or if you got a bait or some kind of thing that works, you need to have a couple on board. That's always the secret about fishing from the boat. But yeah, you know, it actually takes one back to the early days, you know, when you just started fishing, you know, from the bank and then to a small rubber dock and a dinghy, and as you go on, you know, you work yourself up to getting a bigger boat, you know. But yeah, I think maybe we should do some bank fishing. Either I think get a 50 rand dam or one of the, you know, opostets or something like that, just to get out, you know.
Yeah, Adil himself is out in the waters today, so he's having some good fun, that's it. And yeah.
Where is he?
Adil?
Again at Wolo Express, which is on the Vaal River, just below the dam wall. And I was telling Molana earlier on that they've opened up 9 sluice gates, so what I'm normally used to seeing when I come here to the farm is all underwater. The whole structure of the river is very, very different to what I normally, you know, would see. And but like you say, it's better to be, you know, out in nature and enjoying the stuff and admiring the beauty than sitting, I suppose, in an office block or something like that.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think anywhere out is grand, you know.
But you got a nice job because your job takes you out. You said you're going to see a client, probably something to do with boat as well.
Takes me out and looks, and then, you know, then I have to do stuff with people's boats, and I'm like, okay, where are you going now? I'm going this afternoon to here, there, wherever. And then, yeah, well, I'm basically sitting at home, just like that.
I think it's that's more depressing, Adi.
Exactly. You know, in terms of what I'm just listening to you talking about the bank and moving around, not getting too far away from the boats, but when you have this sort of rising levels of water where it suddenly rises, you know, as a boatman, as a boat, what sort of signs are you looking for when you're in the water, you know, that sort of will keep you, I don't know, safe, I suppose, if you are in water in a situation? Or is it advisable that when there's too much of rain, etc., rather not go with the boat? What's the procedure?
Look, the only place you actually have to like really worry about is, you know, fast-flowing waters. But in a dam or something like that, you know, it's a different situation. Dam is basically the inlets and outlets. You know, I wouldn't say stay away because they can become very, very productive. But if you look at rivers, fast-flowing rivers, where they have heavy undercurrents, I wouldn't advise anybody to go on the water, especially with a smaller craft, you know. And then if you don't know what you're actually doing, that can become very, very dangerous. On the dam, I think the most dangerous place you can actually be is near a dam wall that's actually running over 100%, you know, because you can get sucked in very, very quickly. I've seen a guy get sucked in at a Witbank Dam, at the weir that was deep down into the, in the river, you know. The current actually pulled his boat so fast, and I mean, he's got like, what was it, I think a 20-foot or something, quite a big boat.
Mm-hmm.
So fast, and then I think he panicked because he didn't think that the current was going to pull him so fast toward the weir, you know. And yeah, his boat took quite a bit of a beating, but I think eventually when he did calm down, he said, okay, look, whatever happens here happens, just throw my boat around and do whatever you want to do, as long as I'm not going to, you know, flip the boat or something. Yeah, you know, in any situation, panic is a sure sign for disaster. You know, once you've got, when you stay calm and you cool, you know, and I think you can, you know, a little bit of help you can get out of anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the dams not really. The dams, I think, you can go pretty much any time, except the launching area would be a little bit of a problem, you know, in terms of the mud, especially when you've got, like, bad launching areas, you know. Those launching areas, you know, can get stuck like really badly in the mud. I've been through that where there was a car, you know, a normal motor vehicle trying to launch on a soft sand you know, launch, and it dug such a big hole apparently, and I wasn't even aware, you know, the damage that he's done already in the sand. And then I tried to launch my bucket.
Okay.
And I just reversed him, the bucket felt like flat on the, you know, on its on the bottom on the body, you know. So I was bogged down badly, you know, in the sand.
With the boat?
Yeah, with the boat. And look, eventually what we did was we got the boat out with another vehicle. Because, you know, sitting underwater and trying to dig your way out of disaster like that is a bit of a problem. So eventually we had to get like a really monster truck. I think it was one of those big land cruisers that basically got me out of the mud. That's the only way you can go. And the precautions, I would say, you know, looking at launching, always make sure, if you're not familiar with the dam or any venue, just, you know, if you have to walk in the launch door, maybe just over your knee, you know, over knee height, and feel around, you know, before you take your motor vehicle or your trailer into the water and have like a disaster, you know. I think that's pretty much all I can say about the launching pads. In fact, what happened not too long ago when Inanda Dam in Natal was, the levels were very, very low, and one of the slipways was actually almost like dried, well, completely exposed. And what happened there was there was a section on that launch where it dropped off so sharply that you would go like 2 meters into the water and your boat would basically be sunken underwater. And we had one boat that actually, you know, went underwater like really fast and they couldn't get it out. They had to basically release the the trailer from the vehicle and unstrap the boat just to get it to float, and then eventually drag the trailer out of the water. Because the guy wasn't aware that launching pad had such a steep drop, you know. So, like I say, if you're not familiar with it, if you're not familiar with it, always, you know, take your precautions because disaster, you understand.
Very, very interesting. Always when it comes to boating, I suppose the safety feature and the safety aspect is there, but I don't think we should discourage people from sort of getting boats and getting the crafts. When you talked about earlier on, you said that you don't like fishing anymore so much from the banks. Now that you are a sort of a boat fisherman.
No, not that I don't like it. I think any fisherman would like fishing, whether it's on the bank or wherever. I mean, there's times when I went to a place like the Zoo Lake, and you look at these guys, just casting a rod there. I mean, you know, and then you're like interested because it's something you like, you know. And you go there, hey, what you catching or what you're doing or whatever, you know. So I wouldn't say I wouldn't like it, but I think it's not as enjoyable as what it would be like fishing from a boat. I mean, but I've had like really, really, really great experiences and trips from the shore. I mean, there was a time, I think, for a single morning till about lunchtime, we probably caught over 50 fish just from the shore, you know. And that was, for me, one of my best trips ever that I've ever had in my life, you know. Because also, you know, coming back to disaster, one of the worst trips that we've had in terms of the area and the dam, because I don't know if you've got time for me to tell you this quick story, but we basically drove through the night through this private dam, and it rained like the entire night, and little did we actually realize that we're the one section of the dam we actually drove through the riverbed, you know. We were actually parked on the dam wall for like I think the entire night, so sitting there till the sun came up, you know, being so excited and enthusiastic and fishing a new venue, and, you know, we parked on the dam wall and rained the entire night. You know, first light got up and we started fishing. It was like crazy fishing because throw for throw it was like fish on, and we were fishing at the inlet of the dam, and the water was coming quite fast, and it was actually pushing the bass basically slightly away from the current, and they were feeding on whatever was coming down in that heavy current, you know. And we caught fish like crazy, and then we seen cars pull up like quite a distance, like 500 meters plus, you know. And you know, the guys walking around the dam coming to us and asking, hey, how did you guys get here? So we said, no, come to the game with us. I was trying to say, how did you really get here? And we said, well, there's a road. So the guy said, there's no bloody road there. So we walked with him to see where we were, and overnight they developed a river of, I would say, about 30 meters plus, you know, the ditch, and we couldn't get back through to the sand road. But it was quite an adventure, going up into the mountains, getting stuck, going through to a different farm, cutting somebody's fence and mending it, and yeah, you know, like I say, those adventures are quite good, and you know, they were the ones that actually made the best memories. But yeah, again, like I say, bank fishing is not all that bad. In fact, it was, like I say, one of the best times we've ever had. It's just once you move over to a boat, it's a different story.
Yeah, I think, like you say, Mohammed, that it's not about the fishing itself. It's the experiences and the memories that stay in the mind longer than the fishing itself.
Correct, 100%.
Mohammed, and any reports from guys going in and around the area, perhaps fishing, bass fishing locally, your side, anything?
I think with the rising waters and the waters coming up so fast, some of the areas of fishing, what I would think, your fishing is quite bad from a few reports and what I expected. But I think if we get sunshine now for the next week or two, and those water settle, the fishing is going to be great every week. I mean, we've went through this, I think it was 2002, when the bar dam was even like almost dried out,
the last almost drought we had, and then we had it 1 week of rain. I'll never forget that. And immediately after that week, it was like all the dams 100% full, and then we had beautiful reed and lilies and all those things coming up in the shallows. And the bait fish were like full up in the shallows, and the fish, the fishing, the bass fishing activity was just like crazy, because we were getting explosive top water action. You know, I haven't heard of guys like in quite a while doing proper like frog top water or decent top water fishing, where you get these like crazy strikes, you know, or what we call blow ups, you know. Like fishing early part of the morning and this loud splash, you know, all over your bait. I haven't heard of that in a long time, but I think it's coming because, you know, the condition now for the dams are going that way. So currently, all I've heard was guys are catching like barber crazy on the rivers, because what's been happening is obviously with the heavy current that is coming down, you know, in most of the rivers, it's taking all the barber from the bottom and it's pushing them up and all over, because barber most of the time will lay like flat on the bottom, and with the currents like churning up the water and the mud depleting the oxygen in certain parts of the water, that's getting them more active, and the guys have just been catching like barber like crazy, especially like on the barrage. You can take like earthworms on a hook with just a single weight, and that's what the guys were telling me. And you know, catching barber before the weight even settles on the bottom, you know, you got a barber on the line. Sounds like fun. You know, the guys are telling me they're catching like 30, 40 a day. But just barber, you know. That's all that I've really heard of. The kerpa scene is gone quiet, and I'd expect that now with the office weather we've been having, you know, the bit of chill weather and the rain and stuff. I think it will get like extremely better if we have a week of solid sun, you know, before winter. I think the kerpa fishing will just become, you know, it will really be good, especially in dams like Loskop and Molateri and those places, you know. There was a dam, I heard some reports that it's Borakilal or something like that.
Yes.
A couple of guys also went fishing from the bank. Friends of mine, they were catching some decent kerpa, you know, 300-400 gram kerpa, but fun as well. On the bass side, dams like the Werp, fishing was really bad. You're getting the odd, you know, five fish, 10 kilo, you know, bags, meaning you know, the odd 2 kilo here and there. Apparently the dam is full of those 100-200 gram fish. Other than that, Bronco Spray's been doing quite well. Boskop's been doing exceptionally well, apparently in the afternoons, in and amongst the grass. That's basically all the reports that I've heard of recently.
Mohammed, JazakumAllah for your time. We'll catch up with you, inshallah, next week, Saturday, perhaps.
Okay, Mohammed.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Right, Adil, you still there with us?
Yeah, I don't know if you can hear the screaming in the background.
Hey, plenty now, going on there.
If you were 11 or 12 years old.
The excitement is there. Yeah,
it's like crazy. They are all in the water here. See, everything else. They're not catching the fish. They all decided to put their costumes on.
Right.
And now they're in the water, yeah.
Yeah, and I was going to actually tell you that, Adli, you know that, I know we just got about 2 or 3 minutes left. We still got 2 batches of air still to catch up with, but very quickly, you remember right there in the front, actually, where you say that the kids are perhaps swimming right now.
Yeah.
Isn't that area but calm and good for your fishing?
I think at the moment, and I've noticed before in this particular area here, when it comes to fishing when it's very, very quiet, the fish sort of, they bite better. But when there's a lot of noise and stuff like that, then I think the fish become a bit skittish and they sort of stay away from your bait. So I think for now, we're not going to worry about the fishing. We're just going to get the costumes on and just enjoy the water.
This is the best thing you can do. Go and enjoy it out there. At least the kids can learn a lot, they said elsewhere.
Definitely. I think, you know, boys, even girls, I suppose, for them to come out and experience this is something amazing. You know, it's not something that they normally used to. Obviously, their mothers were around. They would never ever approve of what they're doing right now. But that's just the way it goes. That's just survival camp.
Adil, in enjoying yourselves. You got to go find the Moranas there. Make for them a nice breakfast, Adil.
Yeah,
and have some fun there.
And Mrs. Mangi is already preparing the breakfast, so it's fine.
Oh, so you got it a bit soft this weekend.
Hey, very, very nice.
It's not a survival camp.
No. It's actually quite a good game.
Adil, once again, Jazakallah. We'll catch up with you next week, Saturday morning.
Inshallah. Jazakallah, Mulana Sujatimol, and to all our wonderful listeners.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.